Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 K-Frog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. Cherrytails Animal Sanctuary is working to provide an animal shelter for the city of Beaumont and Banning. Here to tell us more is Lexi Dolby, who runs Cherrytails Animal Sanctuary. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Start by telling us about the animal control situation in Beaumont and Banning.
You know, our animal control does the job that they can. They really do. I mean, they unfortunately have been kind of given an impossible job because they're seeing dogs on the streets every single day that they're trying to get. And most of the time they are able to secure them. However, there's nowhere for them to go at this point. We don't have a shelter within either of our cities. Even our nearest ones with ARE, Haven Pet Center, Desert Hot Springs, most of them are at full capacity. So they're not able to take any more of our dogs. Every once in a while they do have the space to be able to. However, I'd say a good 95% of the time, and that's not actual statistics, just based on, you know, things I see, they're not able to take them anywhere. So they end up posting on Facebook, you know, trying to reunite them. A lot of the times we've had animal controls completely tell our citizens we cannot pick up dogs unless we know they are owned by somebody so that we can get them back home, because there's just nowhere for them to go. And it's disheartening. And that's where me, as well as other rescuers, are really, really pushing to be able to find a space for these animals to go. And I've kind of made it my main dedication right now to be able to secure land, secure a space, you know, large enough that we can house enough dogs that, and cats as well, that this shouldn't be as much of a problem in our cities anymore.
What sparked your interest in starting an animal sanctuary, and how long have you been a registered 501c3?
So my 501 is recently new. I did obtain that just this past December. The main reason why I went to that level of getting the nonprofit is because of the fact that I'm seeing just how bad this is. When I was very, very young, I mean, as everybody has, your dogs every once in a while leave the fence. Unfortunately, we are not perfect people. We unfortunately had a situation where our home was broken into while we were on vacation, and our three dogs at home all got out. We were able to find two of the three. However, we never located our third. And being a child, that's disheartening as it is, because I was just in elementary school when this happened. It's heartbreaking, but I always had the biggest faith that, you know, somebody found him, he lived out the rest of his days, and he was happy and healthy. But because of how many people I see posted on Facebook and Nextdoor and all these other apps of my dog got out, or I see this dog on the streets, and we've gotten to the point now where I'm seeing, unfortunately, deceased animals on our streets because it's so overflooded. And it's just, you know, at some point, something's got to give. Somebody's got to step up and figure it out. And there's a lot of people in our communities that are doing everything they physically can. However, there's a point where a normal day-to-day person, you know, most people have jobs and they have things that they have to do. They can't take on all of this. And I'm luckily in a situation where I am able to take this on to a certain extent. My home is not large enough to handle huge amounts of animals, but I do what I can. And I've gotten to the point where even I am physically maxed out, and I'm trying to network as many fosters as I can. I have a good amount of people in my group that are helping drastically, and other rescues that I work with as well. But it's gotten to the point where there's not too much more we can do. And so we need this space. We need to be able to have other places for these animals to go.
Tell us about your vision for Cherry Tails Animal Sanctuary.
My vision is a little big. And I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, kind of narrow it a little bit. But I always have the motto of, you know, if you shoot for the stars, at least you'll hit the moon. Mm-hmm. So ideally, I'd like to get a large plot of land and be able to house a 100 by 200 foot building where I could put over 200 kennels inside of it, and up to, I believe my math was about 200 to 300 cat kennels as well. That way there should be zero reason for any animals to be on our space. I mean, I look at accounts like the Lee Asher House as kind of my inspiration. I want to do something like that, where I have animals that I know will be with me until the day that they go to the Rainbow Bridge. But they will still be happy and healthy and loved and be able to play with. But then we'll also have the ones that can find homes and will absolutely be able to thrive in their new environments as well. But I don't want it to be like a typical shelter that you look at where you go and you see just sad, dirty animals in cages. I don't want it like that. I use the term sanctuary in my 501 for a reason. I think that shelter, most people hear that and it has such a negative connotation when it shouldn't. It really shouldn't. But to me, sanctuary, it gives a whole different meaning. It's showing that there's more hope to it, in a sense. So I have a very big vision, and eventually I would like to even expand it possibly even to equine and livestock and, you know, bigger animals as well, not just for household pets, dogs and cats. But we'll see where it takes us, and I'm hoping it won't be too long and we'll be able to get it as soon as possible.
How do you prepare animals for adoption, and what criteria do you use to match adopters and animals?
Different types of animals, we use different criteria. For instance, we have a lot of high working breeds right now. I have a Belgian Malinois in my care. We have Dobermans, German Shorthaired Pointers. These are all very active dogs. So with these, I'm looking for more specific things and, you know, house size and what kind of exercise they'll be able to take care of, as well as, you know, we do look into background checks and making sure that these people that are wanting to adopt haven't had situations prior of maybe animal abuse or anything along those lines. We always put in as much diligent care as we can to make sure that these animals go to the right homes and go to good people. And I can confidently say that every animal that I've had personally under my care has gone to very good homes. I mean, almost every dog that I've, and cat, I keep specifying just dogs. Mm-hmm. Almost every animal that I've had, I can still be in contact with their current owners. I actually just messaged one today and just talked to them that they've had this one animal that I rescued about 2.5 years ago. And he's still happy, healthy, and as playful as can be. But we mainly just look for people who mesh very well with the animals.
How do you network these animals?
Right now, we are highly relying on social media. It is the biggest platform, I believe, with any business, in all honesty. But with this, it gets out the notion a lot more, and it gets a lot more eyes on them. So it helps in that sense. Like, we have our Facebook page. It is just as our business name is, it's Cherry Tails Animal Sanctuary. We post a lot of that. I do also post on my personal page, but I'm trying to keep it on my business as much as possible. We do share to a lot of local groups, like Lost and Found groups or What's Happening groups within our cities, things like that. But a lot of it is mostly social media. We have gone to Petco events as well, and we're trying to get into those a lot more to be able to get more physical eyes on. I've taken animals into Walmart sometimes and just walked them around. And anytime anybody makes a comment, I'm like, oh, they're available for adoption if you want them. And honestly, the last dog that we actually homed, we got him homed through Animal Action League. Another customer was bringing in a cat to get fixed, and they saw him and they said, wait, I've seen this dog on Facebook and I considered messaging you and I never did. And I'm taking this as a sign. And he's been with them for about 3 or 4 weeks now, and he's just living his best life on half acres of land, just running around like crazy. So it's fantastic.
What's your approach to handling cases of neglect or abuse?
That's a lot tougher of a situation, and I feel like every situation you have to approach it different. It kind of depends specifically on what the case is. For instance, we recently had a dog that was surrendered to a vet's office that we tried to obtain under our sanctuary. Unfortunately, she did go with another rescue, but we are very happy that she at least is in a good place. We did get in contact with the owners on her microchip. We had been alerted from the community that the owners basically have outwardly stated that they did not want this dog anymore. And so when she would get out, they wouldn't try to get her back. So we just, you know, we went over and we spoke with the owner and we said, we understand, we're not judging. We don't want any specific hatred or anything. If you just could sign this paper to relinquish her to the care of the vet, we'll be good to go. And luckily they did that. Some people aren't as kind about it, and we do have to get animal control involved amongst other things. But it's very touchy and it's very hard. And it's hard not to get so emotional and amped up about it when you see something negative happening to an animal when you have this much care for it, whether you know the animal or not. It's just not okay. But I've learned in the years of doing this that the calmer you can stay in the situation and the least judgmental to the person, the better it is for the animal in general. You know, you can have your feelings internalized and be absolutely just horrendously mad about everything that's happening to them, but you can't outwardly put that out because it's just, it doesn't help anybody involved, unfortunately.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
I'm speaking with Lexi Dolby, founder of Cherry Tails Animal Sanctuary. What ideas do you have to offer to help educate current owners and potential adopters?
Right now, our biggest thing is we are outwardly talking to just about anybody and everything about spaying and neutering, trying to get as many animals fixed as possible, because that's a lot of our big problem right now is so many of these animals are not getting fixed, end up on the street. It is a really big problem. There's an overpopulation of animals as it is. So our biggest advocate right now is we're really, really pushing education on spaying and neutering. There is a lot of hearsay regarding if I fix my animal, they're not going to grow as much, or they're not going to be the same behavioral wise or training. And in some instances, yes, that may be true, but not in all. And I always say it's best to consult your vet. But we do have lower cost spay and neutering solutions depending on where exactly they're located. We have Animal Action League trailers. There's Paw Mission over in San Bernardino. There's a few in Riverside as well. I know of a few in even the desert as well. There's so many options for low cost. And even a lot of people don't know this, but you can call certain companies that will give you vouchers to help with the cost of spaying and neutering. But then we also, if once we can get the sanctuary opened, I have a plan to open classes for helping owners with training or different things on specific breeds. I have somebody who's a trainer that's already said that she would be willing to partner with this idea. And so it's just a pencil draw idea as of right now. But I think it will really blossom into something amazing for the communities.
You mentioned a lot of your current partners. How do you plan to collaborate with other animal welfare organizations in our community?
I've already started partnering with a lot of animal welfare organizations, in all honesty. One big account that's in the area of Beaumont and Banning is Animals of the Pass. I talk with her almost every single day, and we're very big on trying to locate missing animals, trying to help them find homes. And just in the few months that I've known and worked with her, we've helped so many animals already. So it's fantastic on that. We have a lot of other rescues that I've been working with hand in hand that I've been helping them on their rescues, and they've been kind of helping me get towards my journey as well. We all have the same goals, obviously. So we should all be a community and be able to help each other. Unfortunately, that's not really the fact of where we live right now. A lot of people in rescue are kind of attacking each other. Mm. And I really don't understand why. And it hurts my heart a little bit because of the fact that we're all wanting the same thing in the end of the day. We all want these animals to be safe and healthy and have great homes. But for some reason, I think just emotions get too high and aggression comes out when it's not necessarily needed. So I'm very big on pushing to try to work with everybody and anybody who's presented on my path. I'm big on believing that, you know, if you come into my path on my journey of what I'm trying to get to, it's for a reason. Whether it's you're supposed to continue this with me for the rest of the time or just a stepping stone. But I try my absolute best to just be as helpful and genuine as possible with everybody, and that's about it.
Like with any nonprofit, fundraising is a critical part of your mission. What are you currently fundraising for?
Currently, we are mostly putting towards trying to get Animal Action League, our more local, low-cost spay and neuter, to be able to visit the cities of Beaumont and Banning a couple more days a month, one, two, even three. The more we can, the better, obviously. That's our main fundraising goal at the moment. Besides the fact of, obviously, I'm constantly fundraising to try to get the building and the land secured for the sanctuary in the long run. But I know that that's going to take more time. Spaying and neutering clinic is something that we can get more short term, or in the sense of it can be here much quicker. The sanctuary will take longer time, but we can get spay and neuter, I mean, very quickly. That's still large funds to be raised. It's about $4,000 for each visit, but that's a lot easier to obtain than close to $500,000. So
what are your main goals for the future development of the sanctuary once it's built?
Honestly, the main number one goal is get these animals off the street and get them into good homes. That's my absolute main 100% goal. You know, I always want to keep growing. I'm very big on you start somewhere, but you should never stop. You should always keep trying to better yourself every time. And I believe that really big with the sanctuary as well. So we may start with just a few kennels and a few spots, but I want to eventually be able to get to housing close to 100, if not more than 100 animals. I want to be able to say that we always have open spots. I don't ever want to be maxed out. I don't ever want to be too full. I want to be able to say that every animal that we get in gets a home and gets adopted out. I mean, that would be the most fantastic statistic. That would be amazing. And then eventually, I want to be able to expand into the larger animals as well, being able to rescue horses and cows and goats and livestock and all of that. I mean, I actually started rescuing horses about a year ago. I had 11 horses that I rescued under my care at one point. And, you know, almost all of them have found homes, but two of them are stuck with me. Those are my babies. But, you know, I have big dreams on this. And I know most of the time people look at it like it's too big of a dream. But I don't believe that's ever a thing. I don't think too big is ever possible.
How are you currently fundraising and how could we help?
Right now, our fundraisers are more limited. We are looking into organizing a softball tournament as well as possibly a golf tournament. Nothing is set in stone as of this exact moment, but I'm hoping maybe around springtime that that will be a possibility. So keep an eye on our social media. That way we can get that out there as much as possible. Other than that, our Venmo is always open. We are a 501, so any donations are tax deductible. We are actively trying to work with the cities of Beaumont and Banning to see if there's anything they'd be able to help with fundraising. But our biggest supporters are always our volunteers on every aspect, whether it be signing up to be a foster or just donating a bag of food or even puppy pads, or we have an Amazon wish list that everybody would be welcome to and greatly appreciated to be able to purchase from. Rescues always, we always are needing something because new ones are always coming in. So anything that we can get is absolutely fantastic.
I've been speaking with Lexi Dolby, founder of Cherry Tails Animal Sanctuary. Any last thoughts for us?
In all honesty, my biggest thought is if you can save them, save them. If you could do anything to help, whether it be bringing them into your home, being a foster, you know, even just networking and helping us when we need, or donating, you know, monetary off of our Amazon or anything, get as active as you can into this because we truly need anybody and everybody. This is a really big problem in our area, especially right now with the amount of strays, and we can't do it alone. We need the help. We really, truly do. So the more hands we have on deck, the better.
How can we learn more about Cherry Tails Animal Sanctuary?
Right now we have our Facebook page. We unfortunately don't have our website up yet, but we do have our Facebook. It's exactly that. You can just look for the profile picture with a little cherry on it and you know you found us. We always keep everything updated on there. Any active fundraisers that we have or events or any new dogs that we've obtained as well as our kitties. It will also always put on there if they're still on hold or if they are adoptable. I'm always the one on the other end of it. So if there's anybody who has any questions or anything, feel free to send us a message. They are always open.
Thank you so much for talking with us today and thank you for making a difference in our community.
Thank you so much.